Hello, welcome to Literally from the North Shore, and thank you for tuning in. Today we will continue our reading of My Spirit, My Journey, A Beginner's Guide, How to Discover, Decide, and Delight in Your Spiritual Journey by Teresa Williams. It was published in 2015 and will be read to you here by Teresa Williams, the author. In addition to authoring 3 books to date, Teresa wears many hats, including one as a KTWH program host for the new Beet Farm on rotating Friday nights at 5, with a repeat on Sunday at 3. As our musical touchstone to accompany this reading, I have chosen songs by Enya, Echoes in the Rain, and Pilgrim. There will be 3 episodes in this presentation. Please join me now for episode 2 of My Spirit, My Journey, by Teresa Williams.
The Clairs, Psychic Match to Our 5 Earthly Senses. According to Wikipedia, definition of the clairs is as follows. Clairvoyance, seeing. The term clairvoyance, from French clair meaning clear, and voyance meaning vision, is used to refer to the ability to gain information about an object, person, location, or physical event through means other than the known senses, for example, a form of extrasensory perception. A person said to have the ability of clairvoyance is referred to as a clairvoyant, or one who sees clearly. Clairsentience, feeling or touching. In the field of parapsychology, clairsentience is a form of extrasensory perception wherein a person acquires psychic knowledge primarily by feeling. The word clair is French for clear, and sentience is derived from the Latin sentire, to feel. Psychometry is related to clairsentience. The word stems from psyche and metric, which means soul measuring. Clairaudience, hearing or listening. In the field of parapsychology, clairaudience, from late 17th century French clair, clear, and audience, hearing, is a form of extrasensory perception wherein a person acquires information by paranormal auditory means. It is often considered to be a form of clairvoyance. Clairaudience is essentially the ability to hear in a paranormal manner, as opposed to paranormal seeing, clairvoyance, and feeling, clairsentience. Clairalience, smelling. Also known as clairsense. In the field of parapsychology, clairalience, or alternatively, clairolfactance, presumably from the late 17th century French, clair, clear, and alience, smelling, is a form of extrasensory perception wherein a person accesses psychic knowledge through the physical sense of smell. Claircognizance, knowing. In the field of parapsychology, claircognizance, presumably from the late 17th century French clair, clear, and cognizance, knowledge, is a form of extrasensory perception wherein a person acquires psychic knowledge primarily by means of intrinsic knowledge. It is the ability to know something without a physical explanation why you know it, like the concept of mediums. Clairgustance, tasting. In the field of parapsychology, clairgustance is defined as a form of extrasensory perception that allegedly allows one to taste a substance without putting anything in one's mouth. It is claimed that those who possess this ability are able to perceive the essence of a substance from the spiritual or ethereal realms through taste. Questions and answers provide the opportunity for more questions and, fortunately, more answers. The best way to make sure you find out what you want to know is to ask. Next, let's take a look at some of the places we can find some answers. Chapter 3. Who do I talk to about this? If you're like me, the more you know, the more you want to know. If a topic resonates with me, I will try all kinds of resources and get more information until my curiosity has been satisfied. I think I can safely say very few of us has a guru living next door to ask questions that come up. Where do we go for answers? There are many resources. I suggest mixing it up a bit. Don't Google everything. Talk to some real live people. Read a book. Go to a meeting. All of the above. By getting answers from more than one resource, you may receive information that really resonates, really gives you the answer you feel in your soul is what you've known all along. Google is a great place to start, but you get no interaction with it, so I strongly suggest meeting up with another person or a group of people. The following is certainly not an all-inclusive list of places to seek answers to your questions. It will definitely give you a great start, however. People. Friends. Family. Co-workers. Group members. Online or in person. Teachers. Psychics or intuitives. Pastor. God. Mentor. Angels. Spirit guides. Your higher self. Elders. Online. I will include a list of specific websites later on. Here are some keywords or phrases you can Google that will provide many websites that you can peruse. Spiritual journey. Finding peace. Psychic. Intuition. Gratitude. Healing energy. Law of attraction. Vision boards. Meditation. Angels. Spirit guides. Channeling. Drum circles. Mantras. Elementals. Fairies. Source energy. Soul contract. Past lives. Crystals. Manifesting. Abundance. Indigo children. Holistic. EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. Divination. Smudging. Angel numbers. Ascended masters. Workshops. Affirmations. Feminine power. Retreats. Inner guidance. Personal growth. Empowerment. Yoga. Empath. Reiki. Metaphysical. Aromatherapy. Spirit animal. Oracle cards. Tarot. Hypnosis. Astrology. Numerology. Dream interpretation. Positive thinking. Healing. Journaling. Releasing blocks. Chakras. Shamanism. Sacred geometry. Spiritual books. Holistic expos. Auras. There are all sorts of groups on Facebook and many other places online you can join that are specifically for asking questions and receiving support from like-minded people. Finding like-minded people is huge. You can learn from others and they learn from you. Yes, you. You may not think you have knowledge or valuable experience to share, but you do. Interacting with others who think like you can bring a big aha moment and make you feel a sense of belonging and raise your vibration, your energy, and give you new knowledge that you may be able to pass along to someone else. Now that you're starting to get some more information, let's look at how it comes into play when we interact with others. Chapter 4. To be or not to be. Or both? Toria says, "Where I'm from, spirituality is respected and being individual is celebrated." Congratulations. You have discovered a bunch of exciting new information. Do you want to share it with everyone you know? Or at the other end of the spectrum, are you afraid to say anything about it to people you know for fear they will think you've lost your mind? Are you in the spiritual closet, out of it, or some combination of both? The answer really depends on you. Brianna says, "I, for the most part, am still very deep in the closet with my gifts. I work in the law enforcement field, and as you can imagine, it's not an open field as far as spirituality goes. I do use my gift on a daily basis for my job. When someone asks me how I knew certain information, I reply, 'Oh, it was just a hunch.' My dad and most extended family have no idea about my gifts. Most people that I do readings for have heard about me through the grapevine. I love doing readings for people I do not know at all. It's a great way to test my gift out. Kim S. says, I do not think I kept my first gift in the closet, but in my culture, humility is values, so I do not really talk about it to very many people. However, now that I realize I am psychic and that I am also a medium and a healer, I do not talk about this to many people. I mainly talk to those who know me, those who are also psychic, and my mentors. I definitely do not talk about this to my work colleagues or casual acquaintances. Keeley says, The moment I came out of the closet was after I had the opportunity to speak with Sylvia Brown. I told her I thought I was crazy, but more like I was afraid to look or sound crazy. She said to me, Keeley, do you know how many people think I'm crazy? If you have a message, deliver it. I was in my late 20s. I slowly began telling people when I would hear their guides and angels speak for their loved ones that have passed on. Jessica says, At first, I was eager to tell people. I wanted everyone to know about this new side to life. If I could, they could too. I kept wanting to open people up and find ways of introducing spiritual topics of discussion. I got mixed reactions, but on the whole, people seemed to be limited in their ability to relate to what I was saying. Now that I'm selectively open about it, if I find someone has an interest in the spiritual, I am usually wide open. It isn't that I wouldn't share it with everyone, but I have found that some people aren't ready to hear the message. Since I psychically experience the spiritual, it is a truth for me, and my truths cannot be compromised by someone else's disbelief. So if I feel comfortable, I will share a lot. Rachel says, I tell people I am comfortable with. I still work in the corporate world, but over the last year, I have become more comfortable with just putting it out there. People who know me know that I am genuine and that I'm not just delusional or making things up. Amy says, I'm an intuitive, right? So I felt out who to tell and where to keep it to myself. My in-laws still don't know I read. I think they'd be fine with it because on a whole host of levels, I've shown them my prowess in the area of wisdom. Jeannie says, I began studying shamanism after the death of my son in seeking to find healing for myself. At the same time, I also had two teenage daughters and I waited until they graduated from high school to come out of the closet and I have remained out for the past 25 years. Sarah says, It depended on the environment or situation I was in, but I found I kept it a little more hidden when I was first starting. As I age and worry less about the opinions of others, I am finding I am more free with my speech and am careful to remain respectful of those with differing opinions. I am also learning not to hold on to what I started with. While I started with crystals, I am now moving on to realize my path is to live authentically and show those around me how to do the same. I am also feeling drawn to empowering others through releasing fear and settling into their own worth. It is an ongoing shift. Toria says, Being from a native tribe, we just are. Your gifts are yours and life is a lesson. Being and living off the reservation is different. I try to observe rather than be observed or attract attention. Where I'm from, spirituality is respected and being an individual is celebrated. Nicole W. says, I would say I started somewhere in between. When I started being public, I hid behind a safe subject, aromatherapy, incorporating it with my Reiki energy work. I would give information I received during a session without fear of completely failing. It helped me to build my confidence and to blossom my gifts to what they are today because I listened to my guides and was validated from clients. I believe I walk my talk now after much work on myself. I visited past lives and cleared much karma. It is interesting to see how much influence they have on how we live our lives today. I have also worked on this life, my inner child, and what she needed to heal. Christy says, I am exactly the same to you as I am to everybody. For me to hide who I am goes against who I am as a spiritual being. I am comfortable with who I am, what I do, and how I live my life. I believe your spiritual path should be a way of life. All in all, it really depends on comfort level. How comfortable are you with your beliefs, your gifts? How comfortable are you with others having their beliefs and gifts, especially if they are different than yours? So simple, yet so complicated. If it feels good, share. If you're not sure, explore. We are all one. Chapter 5. Life happens. What do I do then? Jessica says, I think I still struggle to combine my two beliefs about reality. The one that didn't think this was possible and is still clinging to a normal pick-up-the-dry-cleaning kind of life, and the one that can see things that are not what they had seemed. How can you deal with life's daily circumstances and challenges? You have this feeling inside you, wanting to live in your truth, wanting joy and abundance. You come out of meditation or leave a meeting of like-minded people, and you are floating on your high vibration. Then, something happens. The children are fighting. Someone cuts you off in traffic. You get a phone call from that perpetually negative relative. How do we deal with it? If you're not prepared, you can go from 60 to 0 pretty fast. One big thing to remember is you cannot control what others say or do, only how you react to it. Sometimes, without even realizing it, we are affected by others' emotions and negativity. Perhaps you are experiencing anger, overwhelm, guilt, or fear of leaving the familiar and trying something new. It's important to keep your vibration, the energy that flows from you, at the highest level you can. You are more aligned with your path when your vibration is high and less aligned when it's lower. As Esther Hicks says, if you are feeling negative, lower vibration, emotions, you are paddling your canoe upstream. Seek a better feeling emotion, which then raises your vibration. Let go of the oars and float downstream. The universe is conspiring with you to create circumstances that match the vibe you send out. You send your vibe out to the universe by the way you feel. Everyone will feel bad from time to time. You can't go from angry to elated in just a few minutes. Just work towards another emotion that makes you feel even a bit of relief, and you are on your way to a higher vibration and feeling better. It's not bad to have negative emotions. They're part of life. Just don't pitch your tent and live there. There are many ways to deal with all life's stuff. Stay true to yourself and what feels good in your heart. Do something that makes you feel whole, peaceful, connected. Bert says, I try to meditate every morning. However, meditation for me is basically journaling, channeling, or just listening to spirit guide me. This helps set the tone for my day and has been the greatest asset in developing my gifts. Keely says, for me it's writing, journaling, channeling from my higher self and my guides, being able to use my experiences to speak. Angel says, meditation, breathing exercises, swimming or sitting in the whirlpool, water therapy, being near water, shielding techniques, burning ritual incense, clearing energy, prayer. I also try to stay connected to spirit for guidance and knowledge and do daily affirmations. Lori says, the support of my friends. Just being myself and being true to myself has been helpful. Ashley says, anything outside. Reading, walking, hiking, playing, driving, sitting, thanking. I know I am one with nature and it strengthens me. Dakota says, I love doing readings with oracle cards. I love when the information starts flowing and my head starts tingling. Juliana says, "My practice fuels and sustains my earthly life. I simply could not exist without it, and I truly wonder how many people manage day to day without a connection to Source Wisdom. I have different practices because I am a woman and I need variety. Some days I sit quietly in meditation. If I had had a dream that needs exploring, I may explore this in meditation, or perhaps a shamanic journey feels more appropriate. Anointing myself with my holy oils is essential for me. They help me connect me to spirit, to the beings of the planet realms, and offer so much in the way of peace and harmony, and to the general health and well-being of my physical body temple. When I have visions or ideas I wish to deepen with, I collage from magazines and dialogue with them. This is powerful and surprisingly revealing, and draws from the mystery. Walking in nature and being near water is very valuable as well. And playing is a must. Laughing with loved ones, my sweet dog, Suka, and the earth. Walking in the woods, I say hello to the trees and plants, and delight when they dance and wave a greeting in return. Sometimes I put some music on and dance around the moon, wild and crazy, or soft and slow. I do what makes my heart and body delight and rest in being here now." Tammy says, "What I do and practice to help me feel my best is daily meditation. I do a chakra clearing with affirmations on myself daily, exercise, and eat healthy. What helps me to stay on my path is maintaining that connection to source energy, going to my heart, being conscious of my actions and deeds, being mindful and loving and honoring myself." Kim B. says, "Dance and drawing, walking in nature, being near water, sharing time as a family, acceptance, finding people that appreciate my work, a lot of breath work, finding like-minded souls." Christy says, "Working with and selling rocks is my passion. I am in my bliss state when I am working with people and the energies of stones and how different they are to each individual. Doing aura photos proves that. On an energy, spiritual level, this is all very fulfilling and keeps me very happy. Knowing what I do is needed and not just something I do. I help people on a daily basis get themselves into a better or different place." Nicole W. says, "Teaching yoga and staying in the present moment go hand in hand with helping me to feel my best. I also connect with like-minded friends. We remind each other, validate, and understand thoughts and questions." Toria says, "I try to be grateful every day. I try to stay positive and always look for my lesson or lessons in my daily experience. If I'm not doing these things, I feel it. I also meditate and use native medicines. I've learned and try to recognize the symptoms of straying from the path, and when I realize I've gone astray, I know what to do." Sarah says, "Self-care is so important and something I continue to struggle with. I know I feel best when I meditate, yet I don't do it as often as would be best for me. I also know how much better I feel when I get enough sleep, exercise, and eat well. Yet, I don't always do those things either. In the end, it's an ongoing lesson I'm learning, and one that has been ingrained in my life quite a bit more than it was 10 years ago. I am making progress, and I am happy with that for now." Jeannie says, "I do many different things. I do kirtan, which is chanting mantras, and this always puts me in a state of bliss. I practice yoga, which helps to calm my mind. I daily drum and connect with nature, for she is the real healer." Amy says, "I alternate to keep it fresh. Biking, yoga, running, float tank session, infrared sauna, ionic foot bath, and eating well. My favorite influence in the spiritual arena once said, 'Only meditate 15 minutes a day.' I love this because it goes along with my deep feeling we are here to be human and engage in living, not purely spiritual practice." Kathy says, "Kryon, he is an angel to help us through this transition and is channeled through Lee Carroll. I highly recommend him. He has free audio of his messages from his lectures from all over the world. He is giving information for us now. The messages are what is pertaining to us currently. It is simple, makes sense, and gives me great insight and peace. You can Google him or go to cryon.com. Rachel says, I have recently gotten into chanting. It really helps to calm me down. I also smudge a lot. I intuitively select which herb I need to do this. I commonly choose lavender, sage, palo santo, cedar, and incense. I have also been using moon power to manifest, and I keep up on abundance grid with gemstones. Kim says, I enjoy meditating. I like to visualize being grounded and watching the energy move up and out of my body. I like opening my chakras and visualizing opening up my crown and third eye chakras. Oddly enough, my daughter keeps me on my path. She is very gifted, and when I stray too far off the path, she pulls me back. I also look forward to workshops that occur from time to time. They help me refocus and re-energize, as do meetups with like-minded people. Brianna says, It all comes back to my dreams again. When my dreams start to get very vivid and clear, I know Spirit is trying to communicate with me, and I need to stop and listen. It's hard for me to do readings on myself, so dreams are where it begins for me. Aaron says, My practice. Trusting the information that is coming through. Being kind to myself, forgiving myself when I choose the path of resistance, and allowing myself to begin anew with each breath. Listening and pausing also help me stay on the path. Tuning in to my emotions and listening to what they are communicating about my well-being. Taking time for myself and allowing myself to do the things that bring me joy. Letting go of the need to be busy. Saying yes to those things that shout out a heck yeah, and either letting the rest go or at least pausing until all systems, emotions, physicality, thoughts, and spirit say, go. There are certainly some common practices, as you can see, such as meditating and being in nature. We all need time to just be. Even if you can only carve out a small block of time here and there during the day, you need that. Some folks like to get up before everyone else in the house and have that quiet time in the morning to meditate, do yoga, write in a journal, or do affirmations. See where you can start finding time to sneak in those little respite periods. You don't have to sit cross-legged and chant while burning incense, but you certainly can. When you're in line at the grocery store, on your lunch break, waiting for a train, letting that frying pan soak in the dishwater, or soaking laundry, stop and notice. Even if you only have time to take a nice deep breath and send up a silent thank you.
You have been listening to Episode 2 of My Spirit, My Journey by Teresa Williams. Please remember that if you miss an episode, you can find it by going to our website, ktwh.org, and clicking on Programs, and then Literally from the North Shore on the drop-down list. Each week we will post the episodes from the prior 2 weeks for you to catch up on. Please join me next time for the final episode of My Spirit, My Journey, here on Literally from the North Shore.